This podcast is brought to you by the Showtime original series, Yellow Jackets. For those of us who didn't peak in high school, those teenage years were pretty angsty. But nobody had it worse than the Wiskeyoc High Yellow Jackets girls soccer team of 1996. Yellow Jackets, the Emmy-nominated phenomenon that has us all asking, what really happened out there and what wouldn't you do to stay alive, is back for its much-anticipated second season. The team survived a plane crash and a summer stranded in the woods, but winter bites and those girls are hungry. Plus, there might be a dark force in the wilderness compelling them to do some unsavory things. TBD. Meanwhile, 25 years later, the surviving adult Yellow Jackets are grappling with their past while getting caught up in kidnappings, cults, murders, and parenting moody teenagers. Melanie Lynskey and Tawny Cypress star with Christina Ricci and Juliette Lewis. The internet is obsessed, and Rotten Tomatoes declared it 100% fresh. So if you haven't watched Yellow Jackets, it's time. New episodes streaming now only on Showtime. And now stream Showtime on Paramount Plus.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Whole lot to do today as we get ready for another night in the NBA postseason. Stellar first night of the NHL playoffs. Two games going to overtime. One game going to double overtime. So we'll cover it all, rocking and rolling up until 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. But first up, producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
His dumb producer, Hot Take Hickey.
All right, let's get right to it. Last night, everyone has an opinion. Everyone has a reaction about Sabonis going up against Draymond Green and that kerfuffle that happened at the end of the game. The way I looked at it, Draymond doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. We all know that. We've all been way past that. I don't think Draymond should be suspended. I saw the report a few hours ago that Shams Charania is saying that it's unlikely that Draymond Green gets suspended for game three. It does not mean that Sabonis, when you look back at the entire incident, is not free and isn't guilty of anything, because he did start it when you wrapped up the ankle of Draymond Green. But here is what people are missing, or if you're defending Draymond, you're just carrying the water for Draymond Green and the Golden State Warriors. It's no surprise. I love Klay Thompson, but I thought Klay Thompson last year, when fans were chanting F Draymond, it was like, oh, what about the children? It's embarrassing, the language. I thought that was ridiculous. And last night, Klay Thompson, who said Sabonis was a dirty player, if you want to say that, okay. But when he tries to make the excuse that Draymond was trying to sprint away, that is just so false when you look at each and every angle. And this is coming from someone who, when I saw it in the first reaction, didn't think it was over the top, didn't think it was that egregious, because at the first look, it looked like Sabonis grabs his ankle, and then Draymond, while trying to walk away, not sprint away, trips over Sabonis. But then, once you replay it, and once you see every angle possible, it's clearly intentional. And Draymond has every right to break free, but there is no doubt about it. It's 100% certainty that he intentionally stomped on a player last night. And when they were reviewing it, at first I was like, okay, double technicals would be fine. But with how much more egregious the Draymond Green act was compared to Sabonis just wrapping up his ankle and the intentional stomp, like you're a WWE heel superstar, yeah, you deserve to be suspended. I mean, you deserve to be ejected. There is no doubt about it when you look at that last night that was intentional, and there's no way you could spin it. There's no way that you could justify it. And if you do so, you're either the biggest Warriors fan or you're a relative to Draymond Green. And this is the least shocking thing ever. Like, anyone today, any Tom, Dick, and Harry that's doing a radio show that gets on the air and is like, oh, I can't believe what we see. Oh, the horrific act. Oh, this is embarrassing. Oh, this and that. Like, have you not been watching Draymond the last 5 years? The postseason technically doesn't even start until there's a controversial Draymond Green moment. And that's what happened last night. You had a controversial Draymond Green moment. Here is the difference, though, this year compared to other years. I know that we opened up the playoffs saying, yeah, you give the benefit of the doubt to the Warriors. If you had to pick five teams to get to the finals, they got to be the fifth and final team. You know the Bucks, you know the Celtics are on that list, and the Nuggets and the Suns are on that list as well. And if you had to pick a fifth team, you would go with Golden State. But this series is over. Like, this series is done. The Kings are the better team. So it's one thing when Draymond is acting like this and you're winning. It's another thing when you're losing. And all the Warriors players, they weren't surprised last night. Like, let me remind you, it was just it was just a few months ago where Draymond punched Jordan Poole in the face. Like, this is what this guy does. He's a pain in the ass. But everyone needs a pain in the ass to go win a championship. And his role has worked very well for a long time. But eventually, and this is coming from someone who in the past has tweeted out, I like Draymond Green. I think Draymond Green is funny. But eventually, it's just Draymond Green fatigue, where you're a very good player. I know you'll be a Hall of Famer because the Hall of Fame standards aren't that strong to begin with, but I'm not calling you a great player. You provide an imperative role for the Golden State Warriors, but you're not someone that isn't allowed to get criticized. You're not someone that's an immortal. You're not someone that is an untouchable. Like, when you don't play well and you do this stuff and your team is down 0-2 in the series, it's like, enough. And last night, we talked about it, and I said this to Hickey. I go, that line, and I thought that going into the game, Golden State was going to win. And then I said, you know, let me take a look at the gambling line. And I go, Sacramento at home against the Warriors, who have, like, what, 11 wins on the road this year? They're a two-point favorite? I was like, that line is begging, absolutely begging you to take Golden State because everyone's going to say, oh, Golden State's going to even it up. And then I flipped the prediction, and I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to take the Kings. And here's another part everyone's missing. And this is why I think the series is over. It's done. It's finished. The fat lady singing, wrap it up, sayonara, goodbye. The reason why this series is over is the Kings, even though their home court advantage is phenomenal and you have that scene in Sacramento that's so great, they're a better road team. They have the second most road wins in the NBA this year. The most in the Western Conference. So even if Golden State is able to, in two more games in Sacramento, pick up one home victory or one road victory, I have a lot of confidence that in three tries, if this goes to seven, which I don't think it will, that Sacramento's going to be able to find a way to win one out of games three, four, or six in the Bay Area. So I think this series is donezo. The Warriors had to win last night. And I know everyone's going to tell me that old adage, oh, you're not really in jeopardy of losing a series until you drop one at home. Baloney. And I usually always believe in the Warriors. I love what the Warriors have done the last few years. Even though when they got Durant, a lot of people didn't like it, my jaw would hit the floor because I was so amazed in what the Warriors were able to do. But this Warriors team doesn't have that same feel. Like, look at where we were a year ago. Everyone was giving words of extolment to Jordan Poole, how great he is. Now people don't even want him in the Bay Area anymore with how bad he's become. Draymond is being a royal pain in the ass, and his teammates are all looking at him, waiting for it to happen, laughing at him. When you're down 0-1 in a series and you're on the verge of going down 0-2, I don't know what Steph Curry, I love Steph Curry. But at the end of that game, he was just chucking up shots. They were nowhere close to even hitting. So this Warriors team, as great as they've been, and why I shouldn't count them out, I don't see any signs with how much better the Kings are at home in their own building and how great the Kings are on the road and how the Kings are hungrier and how Mike Brown is out coaching Steve Kerr, why all of a sudden the Warriors are going to wake up down 0-2 and find a way to outchase the Sacramento Kings in the race to four games in this series. So I think last night you got to see this series come to a close, and it's just inevitable that Sacramento is going to be advancing to the second round. But when you look at the future of the Golden State Warriors and you see what transpired last night with Draymond Green stomping on Sabonis, and it was just so unnecessary. Yes, you're entitled and you should be able to free yourself from Sabonis, who is wrapping up your ankle. But there was no way to justify, there was no need for Draymond Green to take it to the level that he did and stomp on Sabonis, because that's what he did. And there's no way you could sit there and tell me that wasn't intentional. Klay Thompson, liar. You're a liar. Oh, he's just trying to break free. He's sprinting. Blah, blah. What are you talking? He's not even sprinting. It's not even close. He's moving in slow-mo, Draymond Green. And if you're trying to break free, you could tell when it's inadvertent if your foot lands on the chest of Sabonis. But that was intentional. It was 1,000% intentional. And not only that, Draymond Green, I got a chuckle out of this one. After the game, asked for an x-ray. He asked for an x-ray, Hickey, on his ankle. The x-ray technician looked at him and he said, yeah, I don't need to do one. You're positive of that ankle being full of bleep. Because that's what that is. An x-ray for your ankle getting tugged at. Oh, give me a break. Oh, what a bunch of nonsense. And you know what? I'm glad that Adam Silver got put right with the fans. That spineless Silver commissioner who I can't stand, and he's running his mouth today about this stupid, and I mean stupid, in-season tournament. And he keeps on trying to tell you how great this is, and he's going to have the players wear different uniforms. Oh, that really makes me want to care about your product in the regular season. But I'm glad that spineless Silver, who wouldn't even, I don't even think Draymond Green should be punished, but you know for a fact, spineless Silver is never going to reprimand a player. You know that because the players run the NBA. I'm glad that he got to see what Draymond Green was doing last night, because that was a joke. And if I'm a Warriors fan, here's the other point that I want to make. I've had enough of Draymond Green. Thank you for the championships. Thank you for the imperative role that you've played, but the juice is just not worth the squeeze anymore. Because this is not a championship team. This is a team that's not going to even get out of the first round. And if I'm a Warriors fan, I'm down on one knee looking up to the sports gods, and I'm saying, pretty please, Draymond, opt out. And he has a player option at the end of the year. He should opt out. That's what I want if I'm a Warriors fan. And if you're Bob Myers, don't be a fool. Don't bring back Draymond Green. The partnership, the relationship was super duper successful. But now it's run its course. And you try to figure out, assuming you get the deal done with Klay and you know where Steph is at, how you add another piece to help maybe bring another championship to the Bay Area. And maybe you go out there and you're able to win your fifth championship. Because Draymond Green is just not needed anymore. And what happened last night is so ridiculous. And once again, I know everyone's going to say, Sabonis started it when he grabbed his ankle. Sure. But then Draymond Green so unnecessarily took it to a different level. And he intentionally stomped on a player. And once again, if you are Klay Thompson, stop with saying, oh, he was trying to sprint away. Nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. And the team didn't even respond to maybe Draymond trying to fire them up with all the antics afterwards? Talk about a guy that punched a teammate. And there's always something. There's always baggage with Draymond Green. Enough is enough. And if you're a Warriors fan, you find out this offseason that he opts in or gets a contract extension, I would be sick to my stomach. Thank him for all the memories. Thank him for all the championships. You'll honor him one day, retire his number, all that stuff. His career will always be associated with the Golden State Warriors. But it's time for the Draymond Green relationship in the Bay Area to end. And that would be my number one wish if I'm a Warriors fan this offseason. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, Gary Bettman had some interesting comments with us yesterday. We will replay that for you and get to a bigger topic of conversation on the best athletes in pro sports right now. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Poll question today: should the Warriors want Draymond Green back on their team next year? Early return. 69% say no. 31% say yes. Hickey, I'll open up the floor to you on this topic. Should the Warriors want Draymond Green back on their team next year? He does have a player option at the conclusion of this season.
No. I think at this point he's a net negative to the team. I think his antics are more of a distraction than a catalyst to get them fired up. He got played off the court basically against the Celtics last year in the finals. This year, even in a situation where in the fourth quarter with a team that has so much championship experience against a very inexperienced Kings team, that should have helped light a fire to help get the Warriors, you know, even this series and get them out of a place where now they're currently in, never being down 0-2 in the Steph Curry era. And for like 2 minutes, it sparked the team a little bit. Then just down the stretch, you flamed out. So at this point, I don't think Draymond Green, the antics, all the baggage he brings with him is worth still the production on the court.
And also, you kind of felt like this year was going to be a disaster because I did remember going back to when the whole Draymond Green, Jordan Poole incident did start. The Warriors were afraid to do anything from a punitive action standpoint. And that, to me, sets a horrible tone in your locker room. And I know past history does matter in multiple ways. But what a guy is meant to a franchise does matter. But when you do what Draymond Green did, you got to be held accountable for that. And when you basically did nothing with the Jordan Poole situation, it's not surprising to me when Draymond Green thinks he could get away with anything. Now, last night, he wasn't harming a teammate, but he was harming his team because he was basically doing nothing on the basketball court. And even if you were, let's say, trying to fire up the guys after you realized what you did and you probably knew you were going to get suspended, I know the Warriors made it a game for a little bit, but it didn't work. Last time I checked, the Kings are up 2-0. So that's also something to me where it's like, yeah, Draymond for so many years was someone that you loved if he's on your team, but you can't stand him if he's not on your team. Now I don't even know how truthfully everyone in that own locker room even still loves him. And it really didn't make a difference in the game last night because now you go back to the Chase Center and you have Golden State in an 0-2 hole, and you know what the Kings are capable of on the road this year. I think this series is over. That's what I started off the show with. I know you were, and I know you picked the Kings heading in, but you don't like to declare a series over until later on. Do you see any way that the Warriors come on back and win this series? Because as great as the Warriors have been and how much they've dominated the last decade, I don't see how the Warriors find a way to hold off the Kings from getting two more victories in this series.
You know, I don't see a way either. And also, to the Warriors, look at how they're playing. It's very uncharacteristically Warriors-like. A lot of turnovers, not hitting a lot of threes, not very good in clutch time. Like, for all usually the areas we see where teams are weakened and the Warriors take advantage of, it's almost like the Kings are doing that now to Golden State, where they are taking advantage of their turnovers and scoring a ton of points off them, dominating the offensive rebound boards. Like, for the most part, the last decade, how we saw the Warriors win, it's kind of how early on these first two games, how the Kings are beating the Warriors. I'm with you. It's over.
By the way, I haven't thought about this until I saw you today. but I'm starting to put it together now. I'm actually very concerned about our upcoming trip to Kansas City. And I voiced my concern about you maybe not being able to mentally handle and emotionally handle the Colts at 4 if they make a pick that you don't like. But I now have a new concern through some recent videos that I've seen on the internet. That's very, very, very concerning to me.
Okay. I don't even know what you're talking about, so this should be fun.
Well, you've heard from DA that you're getting this reputation as the bad boy of radio when you're belching on the air on your weekend overnight show.
On accident, but yes.
But you still belch on the air.
It happened.
I think you and Draymond Green both are now trying to say it was by accident. I thought the belch was intentional, but you're denying it. Okay, you're like the Klay Thompson in this situation, just saying it wasn't intentional. You also dropped an F-bomb on the air when talking about Russell Westbrook, and you posted a video, you pretty sauced, walking out of that Rose Bowl when you were guaranteeing that Penn State is going to go to the college football playoff next year. So
that's right.
You're starting to develop, just like Draymond, a little bit of a reputation, and DA says that you're now the bad boy of radio. So I am concerned, because I do feel like I'm sort of responsible for you, since you're on, even though I could say it's our show, but my name is on the show, I do feel like there is some responsibility to make sure that you behave yourself in Kansas City when we're going out there for the draft. Going to be wonderful. On Wednesday, we'll be doing our show, normal Zach Gelb show, 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern. We're lining up a bunch of NFL draft prospects that are expected to go in the top 15. Thursday, we do the traditional draft show. Myself, JR, Andrew Perloff's going to join the fun. We'll be broadcasting live from the draft, and then we'll do a wrap-up of the first round and a little second, third round live coverage coming up on Friday as well. So Hickey's going out there, and he's producing the whole thing, and I'm hoping that you just make it there okay. Because I see a lot of videos circulating the web these days about bad airplane etiquette. And since you have this bad boy reputation now, I wonder if you're going to be able to handle yourself on the plane. Because I saw a video today of an older man yelling before the plane even took off at a baby, and I guess they were sitting on the runway for a while, who was crying for 45 minutes. And when the stewardess approached the man, he said, "Did that mother bleeper pay extra to yell?" when talking about the baby. So I just wonder, Hickey, and there's another video that I'll get to in a second, if there is a baby crying on the plane before the flight takes off, and I think the entire plane had to deplane because the guy refused to get off the plane, and eventually I believe the guy got arrested. If a baby's crying when we're waiting on the runway in LaGuardia, JFK, Newark, wherever we're leaving from, if Hickey's going to basically pull what you did when talking about Russell Westbrook, F that guy, and you're going to say, F that baby, what a clown that baby is, and then you're going to get kicked off the plane and not even make it to Kansas City.
Here's how I would approach that. I walk up to the baby very calmly. "Do you know who I am? I'm a big deal. We got big shows here for the draft. Do everybody, but especially me, a favor. And please, please be quiet." And I think just that kindness, but big timing the baby, I think will have he or she mellowed out for the 3-hour flight.
But since you are the bad boy of radio these days, I think the baby would be afraid of you.
Exactly.
You do have an intimidating presence.
Which is why the baby would be quiet for the entire flight.
I think the baby would look at you like you're Shrek and would start crying even more and more and more, and you would get kicked off the plane. Now, the other story I did see was Blue Jays, I think he's a pitcher, yeah, or player, Anthony Bass. He slammed United Airlines because I guess his wife, he wasn't flying with his wife, but his wife is 22 weeks pregnant. And their children were, two children were playing on like their iPads. I saw some video of this. And they were eating popcorn and they made a mess. And the flight attendant comes over and says, "Ma'am, can you clean up after your children? There's a lot of popcorn all over the place." So Anthony Bass takes to Twitter, like, "Shame on United. They made my wife, who's 22 weeks pregnant, get on her hands and knees along with my children and clean up the popcorn." Once again, since you're the bad boy of radio, I just wonder if they give you some snacks on the plane, you know, all that VIP package that you get that you probably charge on the company's dime, and you get some free snacks, if you're going to start making a mess and then cause an issue with the flight attendant once again when they ask you to clean up against with yourself.
Actually, the total opposite. I have a lot of respect for people around me. I will not make a mess,
I don't
but
know.
I also have zero tolerance for those who have no respect for people around them. You want to make a mess around me and not clean it up? That's when, listen, when you're in the air, bad boy Raider may have to come out.
Ooh, I don't know if you want to be put someone's face that threat before you get on a plane.
Mess and say, you know what?
No, but I think you're going to be making the mess.
No.
Yeah,
no.
You are.
I'm very courteous.
But you have no trust here.
I'm very courteous.
You have no trust. You're belching on the radio like a wild animal. You're dropping F-bombs, which you're not allowed to do. And you're walking out of games drunk as a skunk and then putting videos out for all to see. I don't think you're trustworthy.
All impacting me, not people around me.
Impacts the station, though.
I am very, very conscious
of
how I come off towards others. And I do not want to cause an inconvenience for the people next to me. So trust me, I will be as neat as possible. No mess will be found.
Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, joined us yesterday. And this was a very interesting exchange that we had regarding something that PK Subban said on ESPN yesterday. And I was watching ESPN early this morning, and we all love PK Subban. And he said that Connor McDavid, when you go to individual storylines, may be the best player to ever play the game. And he's never seen a player to play the game like Connor has, which is saying something since Wayne Gretzky, as you know, was the face of your sport for so many years. Just when you look at McDavid's season, Commissioner, 64 goals, 89 assists, and 153 points, how do you kind of process what he was able to do?
Well, PK's analysis is shared by lots of people. Connor may be the best hockey player on the face of the earth. And frankly, he may be the best athlete when you think about everything he has to do and how physical the game is. Wayne is and will always be the face of the game. But Connor shows that you can go from generation to generation and the sport always renews itself and can even get better.
There's only been two unanimous MVPs in the history of the NHL. Connor McDavid during the COVID season, and then Wayne Gretzky did it one time. I'm assuming this year McDavid gets a second unanimous MVP. So what he's doing is historical, and he had a great season this year, 64 goals, 89 assists, 153 points. I'm not ready to say that he could be the greatest player ever, but when you look at the other part of that conversation with Gary Bettman, he was throwing it out there, dangling at the carrot, that maybe Connor McDavid is the best athlete in sports right now. And when we just look at, and I'm not going to put soccer in this, I'm going to look at the major sports in America, Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, and NHL. I don't know how you feel about this, Hickey. And then I'll give you my order, how we rank these athletes as the most impressive athletes from 1 through 4. But for Major League Baseball, it's clearly Ohtani. For the NFL, it's clearly Patrick Mahomes. For hockey, we all know it's Connor McDavid. The NBA, I think, would be the one that you could get a little pushback on. But right now, I would say Giannis Antetokounmpo, even though he's not going to win the MVP, and that's going to go to Joel Embiid, I would imagine. I do think Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best player in the NBA. The NBA, it's open up to a little bit more conversation, but I would go Giannis right now. Do you object with Giannis, or do you think Giannis right now is the best player in the NBA?
No, I'd go with Giannis. I think it's fair.
Okay, so I'll get your list. Actually, let me get your list first. And I have my list jotted down right in front of me, and I want to see how much we agree and then how much we disagree, if we disagree at all. Most impressive athletes, 1 through 4 out of those four, how would you order them up, with the four athletes being Giannis, McDavid, Mahomes, and then Ohtani?
I would go Shohei Ohtani first.
Okay.
Because of his ability to hit and pitch
to
at
do
a
both,
high
yeah.
level. I will go Patrick Mahomes second, just because of the pressure on the quarterback position. It's the most scrutinized in all of sports. I will go Connor McDavid, a very close third, him and Mahomes, I think are neck and neck. And then fourth, I would go Giannis, no disrespect. But like you said, when it is open to discussion in general about if he's the best player in the NBA, and we're talking about these other three athletes, I would say right now Giannis is fourth.
We are in agreement in the number one spot being Ohtani, like you said. Fantastic pitcher, fantastic hitter. Then number two is where I differentiate from you. I go McDavid just because of the gap. And I'm not saying that there isn't a gap between Mahomes and everyone else. There is, but there is a much bigger gap in hockey from McDavid and then everybody else. The guy had 153 points this past year. The person that was in second was Leon Draisaitl, who's also on his own team at a buck 28. The first non-Oiler to have the most points in the league is Nikita Kucherov of the Lightning, and also David Pastrnak tied of the Bruins with 113 points. So there's just such a large separation between McDavid and everybody else. And I all know how great Mahomes is, but there was a debate right before the AFC Championship game, but maybe Joe Burrow's a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes, and then Mahomes won the game. So that's the only part where I differentiate from you. I go Ohtani 1, I then go McDavid 2, Mahomes 3, and then just because how open it is for Giannis, whether you want to debate it's KD, LeBron, Steph, Embiid, the Joker, whoever it may be, a bunch of others that are in the conversation, then Giannis Antetokounmpo would be in the fourth spot. All righty, this is Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, Jalen Hurts got paid big time yesterday, got to a Super Bowl this past year, was the best player on the field, but did not walk away with a ring. When we look at quarterbacks that don't have a ring, who is the next person to win one first? We'll discuss.
You're listening to the Zach Gilb Show.
Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So yesterday, Jalen Hurts gets the monster and well-deserved contract extension. 5 years, $255 million, $189 million, guaranteed. And you're looking around the NFL, and you think that Jalen Hurts can easily win a Super Bowl in Philadelphia, especially with what he showed last year. And in the Super Bowl, even though Mahomes won the MVP, Jalen Hurts was the best player on the field. The only negative thing you could say about Jalen Hurts from that Super Bowl was the fumble that did lead to a Kansas City touchdown. But Jalen Hurts did so much for Philadelphia in that game. And if you watch that game and if you were a neutral observer, you would clearly observe that he was the best player in the game. So it got me thinking, Hickey, with Hurts still needing to win a Super Bowl, when we look at all the quarterbacks that are actively in the NFL that don't have a Lombardi trophy, who is going to be the first guy to raise that Lombardi trophy? So let's do a little draft here. I'll pick five, you pick five. I think the first three each will be easy, and then it gets tricky. So I have a dime in my hand right now, and we'll flip it to see who goes first. This is heads, just so you could see. This is tails. I feel like an NFL ref. By the way, Hickey, you do seem like an erudite man. Do you know who's on the dime?
No idea. You gave me 100 guesses. I cannot name the president.
Really?
No idea.
Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Really? FDR?
Mm-hmm.
Figured it'd be on a bigger...
Yeah, I would think so, too.
...coin than the dime, but all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's on the dime.
He's on something, I guess.
Heads or tails?
Heads.
That's kind of tough to flip a dime, especially because I have such a fat thumb.
Smallest monetary unit.
You said heads?
Heads.
You sure?
Yes.
Final answer.
Heads.
All right. And it is tails.
Ah, damn.
All right. We'll start things off. I'll go first. I won't defer to the second half. Joe Burrow. I know it's not the easiest path because you're in the same conference as Patrick Mahomes, but we've seen him up until that AFC title game this past year beat Mahomes three times in a row. We've seen the Bengals 2 years ago get to a Super Bowl. As long as he stays upright, I will go with Joe Burrow to be the first quarterback in the NFL that doesn't have a ring to go get a ring.
I will go then with the man that just got paid, Jalen Hurts. Easiest road back to the Super Bowl. He should be able to get there, you know, relatively easy to within the next 3 years. Again, very good team. I'll go Jalen Hurts for my number one overall pick.
And they're the favorites this year to get to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. The Niners, we don't even know who their quarterback's going to be. Brock Purdy the other day talking about how he may, even though he's feeling optimistic, there's always a chance he could miss the entire season. Sam Darnold, Trey Lance, like, do those guys, do you look at them even though with how much of a mastermind Shanahan is and how he's always consistently gets to the championship game, I don't see those guys winning a Super Bowl. And after that in the NFC, it's slim pickings. So it's tough to go to the Super Bowl back-to-back years. It's possible, but I don't see how you bet against Jalen Hurts right now when you look at the NFC. Okay, my second pick. I'll stay in the AFC. I will double down. If it is not Joe Burrow, quarterbacks that don't have a ring that will get one first, I will then take Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills, who I'll be fascinated this year to see how many people pick the Bills to go to the Super Bowl. Last year, everyone was picking them to win it. And then they were extremely disappointing, just getting embarrassed in that second round, the divisional round. They almost lost in the wild card round to Skylar Thompson and the Miami Dolphins. But then they just got spanked by the Cincinnati Bengals. But I'll still roll with Josh Allen because of the upside and what we've seen before in the NFL and the way he's played in some of these postseason games.
With my second pick for a quarterback to win their first ring, I will go with the man who was supposed to be the next coming of Andrew Luck,
Trevor Lawrence.
Looked good in his first playoff win, although the first half he could throw away with those million interceptions. But showed resolve, which is what you need to win a title, or Trevor Lawrence.
And it's crazy to say because of how unstable they were just 2 years ago with Urban Meyer. I know Trent Baalke is still there. But when you bring in a coach like Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia with Nick Foles as his quarterback. You pair up the coaching of Doug along with Trevor. Look what they did in year one together as a duo. They got to the second round of the playoffs, and they almost beat Kansas City in Arrowhead as well. And that division, especially with your Colts in it and the Texans, we'll see who their quarterback is after next week for the future. Tennessee, their window looking like it's closed, is super duper easy peasy when you look at that AFC South these days. Okay. My third pick, I guess I'll triple down in the AFC. There's really not a lot of confidence in the NFC. And even though this organization is always synonymous with underachieving, and whenever you think they're going to be really good, they come up short or it ends up being a disaster. I don't think Brandon Staley will be the coach when this happens. But Justin Herbert, I do believe, is that dude. There is some pressure on Herbert this year, because he's got to go win a playoff game, but he made the playoffs for the first time in his career last year. I do think he is capable of winning a Super Bowl in this league, so I will take Justin Herbert as the third pick here.
I'll go with a man whose value right now is frankly in the toilet, Lamar Jackson, and my hope is going to be that he is freed from the Ravens and goes to the NFC, which makes the path a little easier. Maybe the Commanders come on down. I'll feel good about that. I'll go Lamar Jackson.
Commanders winning a Super Bowl. New ownership. That could do it for you.
New ownership. Get Lamar a little further south.
Well, we think there's new ownership. It looked like it's going to be Josh Harris, and a former basketball player has like a $7 billion cash offer. I was reading.
Not bad.
Just when you think it's easy with Dan Snyder, there's some hiccups there. And you see who was blasting the basketball player, by the way?
No, who?
Sean Merriman. He came out, he's like, I know if you don't have the money. And I guess there was some transaction in business circles in years past and things along those lines.
Pretty easy to find out if you have $7 billion in cash or not. We'll find out soon.
Can you clarify? You said Lamar Jackson, his career right now is in the toilet?
Stock.
Oh, his stock's in the toilet? Why is that? Why do you think that?
No one wants to trade for him. No one wants to give him a contract. No one wants to trade for him. No one's even calling.
Well, I don't think people want to give him a guaranteed deal. And when eventually Lamar comes off of that, he'll get $200 million guaranteed. All right, here's where it gets difficult. Right? You would admit that it gets extremely difficult right now because trying to find the next two names, it's like, do you really actually believe in any of these quarterbacks? Quarterbacks that don't have a ring that will get one first. I've gone with Burrow, Allen, Herbert. You've gone with Hurts, Trevor Lawrence, and Lamar Jackson. Ooh, slim pickings. Can I take Caleb Williams? No, we said they have to be active NFL quarterbacks. I'm going to go. This is tough. But I think I've zeroed in on someone, and I got to go into the NFC. And let me preface this. I really don't believe it when I say this. But I'm going to go, and I'm going to hold my nose when I'm saying this, and maybe they just get hot. Ugh! It shows you how little trust they have in Dak Prescott ever winning a Super Bowl. I'm taking Kirk Cousins.
Okay, I'm going back into the AFC.
I got to take someone in the NFC.
You do. You do the odds, and the path is a lot easier. But we're going back into the jungle, if you will.
Let me ask you this. Your next pick, is it a veteran quarterback, young quarterback?
On the younger side.
But it's played in the league for a few years?
Yes. They've been around the block.
Are you a part of that bandwagon, just wondering?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you may be going a little 2-0.
If Tua is healthy, I could reconsider. I'm going Deshaun Watson And the Cleveland Browns.
The Browns winning a Super Bowl.
Browns winning a Super Bowl. I'm in. I like the roster. He's going to play exponentially better than he did, that's for sure, last year. Deshaun Watson will bounce back.
Who are you, Ken Carmen? Super Bowl? Super Browns.
Browns. And let's go.
Here we go again. It's the Cleveland Browns, and it's first and 10. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Okay. I'll go back into the AFC, and I think you're going to be surprised by this name. But I look at tradition of a franchise, and this is a premature pick, but I'm going to buy low on this one, and I think this guy's going to be a solid player. The small hands of Kenny Pickett hoisting a Lombardi trophy one day. I'll take Kenny Pickett.
Can I have one caveat?
You go Jordan Love?
Can I pick a team? Because I don't know who the quarterback is going to be.
You got it. Who would the team be?
49ers.
No.
I have no idea what's going to be saying. Fine, I'll go Trey Lance. I'm in on Trey Lance.
Ooh,
I'm on the Trey Lance Island. Yes. 49ers are way better than the Cowboys.
Okay.
So I will ride with the team.
But Shanahan doesn't believe in Trey Lance. He didn't even really believe in him. He had to be talked into him when they drafted him.
You know, talk about a team and you know, maybe ride the Sam Darnold to get a little 2-for-1 bargain action here. But I will go Trey Lance, plant my flag on Trey Lance Island. I'm all alone. No problem.
It's kind of crazy that no one did take Dak. When we're talking about
At this point.
But over Trey Lance, come on.
It's more with the belief in the 49ers and the team and Kyle Shanahan than anything else, but.
Yeah. Lance even start game one? Already talking about Sam Darnold starting potential.
He'll start.
Sam Darnold?
No, Trey Lance.
Oy, oy, oy. Well, if he gets mono, he won't be starting. Or if he starts to see Ghost, he won't be starting as well. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.